Advent isn't one of my favorite times in the life of the church, usually. I'm just fine with Advent and Christmas. I just wish that those holy days were not smack dab in the middle of the holidays with everything so crazy. But it's in the midst of that that I had one of those experiences. In this former church, the candles would be lit by people in the church, much, you know, like anywhere. And one year, a particular family was lighting the candles. I don't remember how many candles or which one it was, because it just wasn't important. What was important is that the girl was lighting the candles. She had a brother, and her family was three generations, though her mom was not really very active in the church, but her grandmother was. And her grandmother and her grandfather were absolutely involved in the church in a lot of different ways. Think about Carol and Leon, only with more time on their hands, all right? But their granddaughter was lighting the candle. She was deaf, so she did not really speak. That always gives folks the impression that perhaps they aren't paying attention or they aren't very smart, all of which is just not true. But we're so verbal that when somebody isn't, we aren't sure. But it was Advent. I was in my usual mood. And I was sitting up behind the pulpit. There, they had a bench behind the pulpit. And we, all the ministers, all the lay readers, anybody who was speaking had to sit on that. And you had to sit there so that everybody could absolutely see you at all times. And I eventually learned to never make a face or a grimace or anything else, no matter what the interim minister was saying, or anybody was saying. But, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to do whatever it is I'm doing, and I'm sort of looking over there, and I saw her. She was lighting the candle. The flame of the fire was bright enough that it was casting light on her face. And there was this glow that I think was more than just the fire, because the look in her eyes, the look on her face, the smile on her face was just one of awe, wonder, and delight. I thought angel. It was holy, that fire. That candle. Years before that, different church, I had allowed myself to get worn down, and I just was pooped. So I took a day off, and I went skiing. This was in Connecticut, so I wasn't going to a mountain. I went to one of the Connecticut hills. I like to ski. I like being by myself. So I thought this will be good. Give me something to do away. And the skiing was okay. Again, it was Connecticut and a hill. But what I began to realize was the chairlift ride was great. It was excellent. I would sit. Wasn't crowded, it was midweek, plus it was Connecticut. And I would go up and I'd get to see all the trees and the ski trails, but it was windy and the wind would blow past my ears and I could hear the wind just And I became mesmerized by the wind. I would ski down the hill just so I could get back on the lift, which is not what skiers usually do. And it was just so great to hear the wind blowing. It was calming. It was like it was blowing some calm into one ear and all that restlessness and frustration and everything else out the other ear. And that whistling sound as it passed through my head was, well, it was holy. It was just wind. But I felt so good afterwards. Fire and wind. As I said before, those are the symbols for this day because of the story that Vicky told twice, once without any help that wasn't needed. And you can see why, with that story, we hold those two things as signs, symbols, significant because they manifest, they show God's presence, God's spirit, God's use of those things. And they have long history in Scripture. I mentioned some of those from the Exodus to prophets being able to produce fire to burn up wet wood to show that their God is better than the other people's gods, to all the times that the wind and the spirit and fire and flames are significant as a way of saying, hey, here's God, just like Pentecost. And I want you to note that these are not incredible symbols. They're everyday things. Fire had been used, I was going to say, from the beginning of civilization. Fire began to create civilization. And wind? It's just air. It's just air that's moving. I mean, these are common, everyday things. All over the place, everywhere. And when you look at Scripture, you realize that that's the stuff that God uses all the time. Flour and oil and water. Bread and staffs. That just everyday, common things that become a sign, a manifestation of God's presence, God working in the world and in us. So note that, because I would love for all of you to be able to move through your day and see the common everyday things that are in your life and find God's presence there, working on us, working on the world, bringing an awareness of God, God's power, God's love, God's blessing to us. I would love for you to be able to see how the common everyday doesn't need to be common and everyday. It can be blessed. It can be holy. It can be the most amazing thing going on. Those times are God's way of embracing you and pulling you closer, closer to God. And I want to encourage you. I want to tell you, let God pull you closer. Get as close to God as you can. That's what this religion is about. getting as close to God as we can. And that awareness that even the humblest thing in our life might all of a sudden become a vessel for God, it is really important. Because God is just that close. Always. Always. Here's the other thing about that, too. This may be even cooler. You and me, we're pretty ordinary. Every day, common, sometimes humble. And the same thing is true. God can be in us. We can be that everyday, common, normal, ordinary, humble, ever-present something that God invests and empowers with the Holy Spirit to be a sign, a symbol, something for somebody else, some way for God to embrace that person and pull them closer to who God is and where God is. And, you know, there is maybe a little bit of nervousness about that. It's a kind of an awesome thing to have that awareness that at any moment we might be God's instrument, God's vessel in the world, trying to help others get close to God. But it's true. Whether we want it or not, we don't know when our word, our touch, our embrace, our mere presence might, for someone, move from you being a common everyday parent, grandparent, child, co-worker, neighbor, stranger, enemy, into God's way of saying to them, chill, relax, allow some love and some holiness to be right there with you. It's kind of amazing when you realize it's happened to you. And I hope you all know that that has been true for you. I'm almost certain in your life already. But be ready. I don't think God is done with us. And the really cool thing is that sometimes it's not what we do or what our pencil does or what our loaf of bread does that is directly moving us and letting us know that holiness is right there with us. Sometimes it's the reflection. It is one step removed from the actual thing, like the light that was shining on that face. Or as somebody pointed out a couple of weeks ago, the peace candle, the light from the peace candle, reflecting off of the gold-leafed edges of the Bible, which you can very nicely see thanks to Alice's good work on the picture on the front of our bulletin. And as it turns out, hopefully we'll be there every week to remind us that sometimes it's going to be the reflection and sometimes it's going to be the actual flame. And flame is a neat image, in part because it reminds us it only takes a spark to get the fire going. And once that fire is going, amazing things can be warmed by that fire. Get ready to pass it on. Amen.